News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Williams Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey Copper, I'm not going to wind up typing on the board, but just go ahead and just know that I'm registering a complaint right now. You can go ahead and just take that one to management. All right.
Understood. Will do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We only have so much time to work with, right? Listen, we got stuff going on. I mean, like, I got a triple dipper here full of some major stories, and it's hard to even figure out where to start, but not the least of which is what's been happening with these Biden gaffes. But you got to keep track. And let me just tell you, one of the things that we do to help you keep track is to put things where you can get to them, all right? So rightsideradio.org is our website, but it's way more than a website. It's like not just an information site, it's an information hub. So if you are listening to this show right now and you're thinking, man, I got to hear that again, or man, I want to catch that part I missed, or man, I got to send that to my friend or whatever, you can do that. You can go to rightsideradio.org. All of our podcasting, like everything we do on this show, Copper segments it out into smaller parts and sends it to where Birdman can get to it. Birdman then uploads it into every form of podcasting known to man. And they're all available right there on the website. 35,000-ish downloads right now of the website, of the podcast. And so that's very cool, and we appreciate that. And thanks to Copper and Birdman for their work on that part. The other thing we got, though, is doesn't matter where you are. You can be driving way outside the range of our AM/FM here at WVNN, or you can be someone who lives and works out of state, like we have a lot of people who do that listen to the show. And all you got to do is go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live. And you know the thing I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, rightsideradio.org has all that stuff. Plus, I happen to be, Copper, I am wearing a pair of right side socks today, just so you know.
Nice.
I got the blue ones on. I got the blue right side logo socks. They are available, among other things, like t-shirts and coffee mugs and all that, at the rightsideradio.org right side store. Just click on the button and buy stuff. That's all good. Listen, a lot of stuff on there. But a lot of stuff happening in the news, like I said. So when we do one of these stories, or when Copper and I write something, we get it out there, it's all on that website. And you can find it again any given day. Now, all that to say, it's amazing to me the things that are being said that, like, that never happened. It did happen. We watched it happen. The most egregious of which is the Biden gaffes from the last few days. So I'm going to spend some time here in the first part of the Triple Dipper sort of going into that gaslighting thing again, talking about how they want you to believe that this that happened didn't happen, and the spin doctors come out, and they you know, just go. Spin Doctors was actually a 90s rock band that I liked, but this is different. Spin Doctors in this case are the people that take the truth and they bend it to try and, you know, sort of fit their needs to try to spin the narrative so that it comes out different. Well, there's been a lot of that going on. You know, Biden has even referred to himself in the past as a gaffe machine. Well, maybe that was cute when you were a senator, sir. But you are now the president of the United States. You are the leader of the free world. And the reality is, presidential statements affect policy. And when the boss gets out there and says it, the world goes, oh, shoot, that's what we're doing? And if we're not doing it, then why'd you say it? It's like you look at it and think, okay, there's a couple of options here. Number one is he gets caught up in every single moment and can't control himself. That's bad. Number two, there's a cognitive decline that is causing him to say things that aren't based in reality. That's also bad. And then number three is this is what they're really doing behind the scenes, but he forgot and shouldn't have said it out loud because they've been talking about it in the background, and he, like I said, couldn't control himself, so it came out. That's also bad. There's no good here, because every single one of the comments that we're talking about have all been walked back. Regardless of whether he wants to say nobody's walking anything back, they've been walked back hard. I mean, just the other day, he made the comment, though, you don't try and take my, you know, words out of context. You know those sanctions were never meant to deter. Never mind the fact that previous recorded statements of his Secretary of State, of the Vice President, and of Jake Sullivan were all on video saying the sanctions that we're imposing are designed to deter Putin from moving forward. Well, what? Okay. So, yeah, that's just one of many. It gets worse. I don't know how Jen Psaki does her job right now. Now, she's irritating, but nonetheless, you look at her and go, man, I start to feel sorry for her. But anyway, Copper, I see a break coming right now. Are we good? There it is. All right. Listen, folks, we got a lot more, and it's going to be fun. And coming up at the top of the hour, too, we're going to start doing a thing periodically here over the next few days and coming weeks. Meet the candidates. One of them's coming on at 3 o'clock, Ernie Yarbrough, running for State House in House District 4 right down the way. All right, folks, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Copper, I thought I saw a caller calling in. Was that not a caller? Was it somebody with a message? Is it worth repeating? What do we got?
Oh, he just wanted to know your email so he could send you some thoughts on gaslighting.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. Don't gaslight me, dude, whatever you do. Yeah, so that's number one of the triple dipper right now, gaslighting. Gaslighting is a bipartisan act, and I mean that with all sincerity. It's not like I'm saying it's only Joe Biden. Now, he's an easy target right now because, I mean, the man seems to live from one gaffe to the next. And then his staff, my gosh. I mean, the spinmeisters, they must have an entire room full of people whose whole job is to retool the boss's words. If you remember, there was a period of time in early in his administration, which truthfully is only, what, a little over a year old, but where they were actually cutting off his mic. Remember that? When he wasn't even allowed to take questions. He would come out and make a statement. He would look real tired. He would turn around. He'd walk away. And then there was at least twice when he's about to say something and all of a sudden his mic would go out. Or the other thing that would happen all the time was they begin shouting at the press, okay, everybody out. Okay, we're all through here. We're all through. Let's go. And would just like herd them out. It was unreal. Well, somewhere someone along the line said, we can't keep doing that. You can't keep shutting off the president's mic. You can't keep. So they've had to work the issue. And what they're doing now is they're giving him cheat sheets. And these cheat sheets are pretty legit. Now, right now, if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to go on and take a look at the cheat sheet that he was holding in his hand yesterday. Now, I don't mind anybody having notes. I mean, I can't tell you how many speeches I've given with notes. I can't tell you how many floor debates in the Senate or going to court to argue a brief or anything. I mean, you have notes. I get it. But when you're telling the world that there's no walkbacks here, we're not walking anything back. And you've got the cheat sheet in your hand that tells you how to walk back. That's called gaslighting. That's called what you're seeing is not what you think you're seeing. I want to tell you the truth about what you're seeing, even though really what I'm doing is spinning it. Well, some would call it a lie. Well, so story off the Washington Examiner here, dated yesterday. Joe Biden's gaffes are a liability. That's what it says. Think about this. When the leader of the free world speaks, it actually sets policy unless they can effectively walk it back. For years, President Joe Biden, it says, has downplayed his own tendency to misspeak. Like I said earlier, he calls himself the gaffe machine. All right, yeah, and I think I made the point that can be an endearing trait when you're a senator. You know, you're that folksy guy who's, you know, just, oh, that's Uncle Joe. He's just, you know, Uncle Joe. He never can tell what Uncle Joe is going to say. Not funny when you're the president. So literally, Biden has gone off script several times in the last few days. Like, for instance, the White House had to walk back statements that he made about Putin cannot remain in power. It was a moment where he gave a pretty decent speech. Props to him for the speech. But then at the end of it all, he went off script and he said, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. You think, all right, what just happened? Well, the president of the United States just said that we need regime change in Russia. Moments later, the White House had to walk it back by describing what he really meant was, anytime you have to come out with what the president was trying to say or what he meant was, or the president's point should be construed as, at that point, you are dancing to a different tune. You are no longer on message. You're having to correct message, and you're gaslighting. Secretary of State Antony Blinken had to go in and clean it up when he was in Jerusalem during a press conference. But the damage had already been done. I mean, the reality is, according to Washington Examiner, this story points out, Biden undermined the United States' own policy of non-intervention in regard to Russia-Ukraine and suggested we might actually be willing to get involved in a direct way. Words like that can escalate situations greatly. Well, Biden continues to struggle to clarify his comments. And I'm going to tell you in more detail about that, but I do have a caller on line four, so let me grab that real quick. Line four, Lisa from Athens. Hey, Lisa, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil, fine. I don't know if anybody remembers back while Biden was running, he made a comment that was pretty obvious that he had probably been told in private that he wasn't supposed to repeat, where he said, we have the best, most comprehensive voter fraud system in place that there's ever been, which was proof to me that he stole the election and he knew it.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, they didn't steal that election. Everything was normal. I mean, don't you know?
Uh-huh.
Gaslighting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Lisa. Appreciate your call.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in fact, I've got a whole section later this week that I'm going to do on election integrity. And folks, there's some new reports coming out. I mean, real legit reports like court rulings and otherwise that are clearly indicating that was not a normal election. Well, listen, continue on this theme, all right? Post-millennial. Dated yesterday. The Post-Millennial's headline, Biden struggles to clarify his comments on Putin and troops in Ukraine. So the other gaffe he made was when he said to U.S. troops, he's meeting with members of the 82nd Airborne. And by the way, you just didn't see any faces that looked like they felt good about it. Most of them were looking at him like, what's Uncle Joe saying? What's he doing? Oh, Lord. Somebody give him a turkey leg and let's go on back to Thanksgiving dinner. But the reality is they were looking at him like something was wrong. Anyway, he's telling them, while he's talking to them, he said, some of you are going to see it when you're there. When you're there, he was talking about Ukraine. When you're there, I thought we weren't going there. So you got to know that Private Joe Snuffy's standing there in the front line thinking, when we're there? Yeah, okay. Anyway, when multiple reporters began asking him about this, Biden said, I'm not walking anything back. Okay. And then he goes on to make no apologies for his comments. And then Peter Ducey, I made this comment earlier, but I'm going to give you more details on it. Peter Ducey, if you haven't seen this, just Google Peter Ducey Biden walk back news. So you just type that in. You'll find it. Fox News' Peter Ducey, according to the story on Post-Millennial, which I watched in live, I believe. Fox News' Peter Ducey tried again to get to the bottom of what Biden meant when he said that last week Putin should not remain in power, that U.S. troops would find themselves in Ukraine, and that if Russia used chemical weapons, the U.S. would respond in kind. Ducey asked, are you worried that other leaders in the world are going to start doubting that America is back if some of these big things that you say on the world stage keep getting walked back? What's getting walked back? Biden asked incredulously. What? Where have you been, sir? Ducey looked at him and said, sounds like in the last couple of days, it sounded like you told the U.S. troops you were going to Ukraine. It sounded like it was possible to use chemical weapons. It sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia. Biden's response, none of the three are true. None of those three things happened. You interpret the language that way. Really? Classic example of gaslighting. And he went on to say several. And then Jake Sullivan had to answer back, and then other things had to happen, and pretty much they had to go into spin mode. Well, it's a bipartisan issue, y'all. It is bipartisan. And I've got an article that I'll get to here in a minute from my friend Stephanie Smith. She's writing for 1819 News about how Alabama's own Republican Party is trying to pretend there's one thing and they're really not. They're Republicans. They're not conservatives, at least as a body, they're not. There are members of the bodies in the House and Senate and probably some members of the governor's staff who are conservative, but we're seeing right now that too many of the leadership are not. Well, so one of the things that really caught my attention yesterday, too, was not just Democrat Joe Biden in full spin mode trying to deny things that have really happened. But there's a brand new campaign ad. I touched on this briefly in my monologue. Have you seen it for Governor Kay Ivey? It's a couple of good old boys, and they're on a gun range. And they're standing there, and they've got an American flag, and they got one of the yellow, they call them the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, hanging behind them. And they're loading up their Glocks, and they're looking down range, and they're just talking to each other about their favorite governor, about how well she's done. The whole 30-second spot's called I Like It. That's what the thing is called. They talk about how Ivy's, done so much on job creation. She signed that pro-life legislation. By the way, signing pro-life legislation means she signed what the legislature did. But that's okay. I mean, I'm glad she signed it. Combating COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Huh. And banning critical race theory. Huh. I got news. She didn't do any of that. Combating COVID-19 vaccine mandates. When I heard them say that, listen, how many times on this show did I say the governor has got to call the legislature into special session to deal with these vaccine mandates? And she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. She issued a proclamation. What does a proclamation do? Nothing. It's a soundbite. It's a, here's my tough talk with nothing to it. If you remember, the legislature had to come into special session finally because they were required to do redistricting. They had to draw the new U.S. congressional and state senate, state house, and school district lines. I mean, by law, they had to. She couldn't avoid having them come in anymore. You see, the legislature can't convene itself whenever it feels like it. So literally, Governor Ivey, trying to avoid having anything to do, issues this empty proclamation. And all she says basically is vaccine mandates are bad, but she won't call anybody in to help do anything about it. She won't issue any executive order. She won't do anything that means anything. So the legislature came into special session, and typically they're only allowed to do what the governor calls them in for. In this case, redistricting. Except that when they got there, they knew what their constituents wanted. And because the rules say that once they are in session, if there's a two-thirds majority willing to move forward on other topics, then they can do so. Then they passed legislation that she had no choice but to sign related to vaccine mandates. Yes, she did nothing on this. In fact, she resisted this. In fact, no one could get her to do anything. She didn't even want the legislature to talk about it. They boxed her into a corner. She had no choice but to sign it. That's what happened. But in her spot, she says, there's no step too high for a high stepper. Right after they touted how well she had done combating COVID-19 vaccine mandates. When the reality is, if that ain't gaslighting, I don't know what is. All right, Copper, let's go ahead and move to a break right now. We're about 30 seconds ahead of schedule. Let's do that. We'll get it done, come right back, talk a little more about this. And then coming up top of the hour, one quick correction from me. Ernie Yarbrough is a candidate for State House District 7. I said 4 earlier, District 7. I'm sure the person holding the seat in House District 4 was perking up wondering what in the world's going on. Anyway, Ernie Yarbrough, top of the hour, running for State House District 7. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, coming back to you right now, 2:52 p.m., before I jump back onto the Triple Dipper, I got to tell you, there has been some breaking news on the war in Ukraine. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday, so I'll spend less time today, but I'm going to give you breaking news as it comes up. One thing that I do want you to hear is that right now, there has been a discussion about what Russian troop movements are actually doing. There are allegedly reports that Russian troops are withdrawing from the Kiev area. Well, just moments ago, Pentagon spokesman Admiral John Kirby went on live and said that Russia has failed to take Kiev. Now, understand, if you remember back when all this started, even General Milley and Secretary of Defense Austin said they expected Kiev to follow within like 2 days. We are 34, 35 days in, and Russia is now having to remove its troops from the Kiev area. Now, here's the thing. A U.S. official says these Russian troops are just redeploying. They're not truly withdrawing. So whether they're repositioning their troops, whether they're consolidating them, and I would suspect that's the case. I mean, right now, what they're likely having to do from the damage that we've seen that's been inflicted upon them by the Ukrainians is they are likely having to consolidate units and basically reconstruct their logistics lines and basically see what they got left. So there's that. That is that's big doings, folks. I mean, that is just huge. That is huge. The Russian bear just got punched right in the nose. So more to come. Pentagon says Russia is also more heavily focusing on the Donbass region. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of it. The Donbass region in the eastern side of the country. And the Donbass region is, of course, where they've been fighting for the last, you know, several years, 8 years, really. So if they're refocusing their effort on ground that they've had for many, many, many years, what does that tell you? It's amazing. All right, listen, I've got plenty more on here, but I do see I got a caller on that topic, so I'll grab it real quick. Copper, you just highlight his name. You good to go? Okay, great. Line 5, Barry from Athens. Hey, Barry, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Doing fine, Mr. Williams. You know, the thing about Ukraine that Russia don't have is they've got a reason to fight. I mean, that's their home. That's their life.
Oh, yeah.
And those Russian conscripts, you think they're over there happy being shot at, being killed, so Putin can become worth $101 billion? And I mean,
oh, yeah.
Tell me, how does a man in that position become a $100 billion or billion-dollar heir if he's not stealing them blind? And, you know, they've got to resent that. So I can imagine they don't really want to be there fighting anyway.
The Russian conscripts, we're already seeing reports of Russian soldiers turning on their leadership. And if you notice, we've had multiple Russian generals killed. That's because their lines of communication are so broken that their command and control is broken, that they're having to go forward to the front lines. And then the Russians Ukrainian snipers are taking them out. So the whole thing's a mess. Well, and you're right. The conscripts are not in it, whereas the Ukrainians are fighting for their homeland.
Exactly. And, you know, it just blew me away when they said that his estimated worth was $100 billion. I said, how does he get that unless he's stealing it from the citizenship? Why don't they rise up against him and kill him? And I mean, that 30 days ago, I got kicked off Facebook for saying that. But anyway, I thought they'd agree with that, but obviously they don't.
Obviously they don't.
Anyway, you have a good afternoon, Mr. Williams.
All right, Barry, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for being in the audience. You sound like a definite Right Side ruffian. We appreciate you being a part of the show. Hey, listen, let me switch back to our topic at hand. Coming up top of the hour, got a guy named Ernie Yarbrough is calling in. Now, I have said, and by the way, Ernie's running for State House District 7. He's running against an incumbent by the name of Prancy Robertson. Representative Robertson has been in, I think, since 2018. But the reality is he's running against an incumbent Republican. Now, I have said many times, I've even said on this show, to me, there's only two reasons to run against an incumbent. Either A, you're doing a bad job, so someone needs to run against you, or B, I just want your job. Well, I think what we're finding right now is that across the board, most of those who are getting primary races, it's because people are dissatisfied with what Republicans as a whole are accomplishing or not accomplishing on their behalf. We are the reddest state in the nation. We have a supermajority in both the House and the Senate. Every statewide elected official is a Republican. Democrats are in disarray. There is almost zero opportunity for a Democrat to get elected at a statewide office, and only in some localized offices or legislative offices can they have much hope. All right, think about that. That can either mean great things, or it can mean that those with an R by their name have a chance now to get fat and happy because there ain't nobody challenging them. There's nobody saying, here's a better way. There's no one saying, this is what we're supposed to stand for. And so I have, you know, people can roll their eyes or get questionable when I say this, but the reality is this. I believe that having a strong Democrat Party keeps the Republican Party honest and moving forward. Think about it. You rise to the level of your competition. When there is no competition, you play down. Well, right now, Republicans are playing down. Stephanie Holden Smith is a friend of mine. She wrote a piece for 1819, just like Copper and I do. Her title of it is "The Alabama GOP is Suffering from an Identity Crisis." And she points out that there's absurd things happening like transgenders in women's sports and that kind of thing. And that's an identity crisis. But then she says, Republicans in Alabama have their own identity crisis. They say they are one thing, but it appears that they are another. She says the Alabama elected leadership is having an identity crisis of their own. She goes on and cites examples like school choice bills that were gutted by the AEA, Republicans failing to pass anything that gives school choice at all. Government has grown by 35% in the last few years. $1.5 billion surplus with very little tax relief, if any. A gas tax that was raised that raises itself perpetually from here on. Critical race theory. Vaccine mandates that take forever to get anything done. Tax increases. All these things sound a lot like people deserve a primary race. Well, we're going to talk to a guy here in a minute that decided he's in a primary. He's going to run against an incumbent. And we'll find out whether it's just because he wants the job or because he thinks they're doing a bad job. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.